You're listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of March 10th, 2014, and this week we shamble up the mountain and find an old friend.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Albor.
My name is Scott Juster.
And we're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, our safety home in the woods.
we're going up north.
We're going up north to talk about video games. Yeah. As you all know, A House Divided will not stand. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about episode 2 of The Walking Dead today.
Civil War history.
Civil War history. Yeah. I think it's kind of funny that they went with this title, considering the context of that quote, right?
Yeah, yeah. And
I mean, there are Southerners in this episode,
right? They get to the point where like there is a house divided against itself, but they don't. They could have done more. They could have, because I think they're like in Virginia or something too. Yeah, like there's a lot of Civil War-ish type stuff.
You wanted more like Civil War callbacks?
I want Zombie Lincoln.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. all right, so as you all know, we're doing another debrief today. We're talking about season 2, episode 2 of The Walking Dead. Yeah. We always love these. The last time we had this conversation was in December, though. It's been, what, 3 months since episode 1. Yeah. Does that seem like a long time to you?
That does seem like a long time, but that's just because I don't remember what season 1 was like.
I thought season 1 was like every month, right?
It was roughly, because I remember I played like 3 in a row because I had fallen behind, and so it kind of threw off my timeline, but I do feel like it was somewhere around a month or month and a half.
I think that my guess is Telltale like moved offices or something, because like, they apologized for how long it took for them to release The Wolf Among Us episode 2 as well. Yeah.
Someone tripped over a wire.
Yeah, and, like, someone downloaded a computer virus and they just lost all of season 2.
Sorry guys. Yeah, it had been a long time, and I did have to refresh my memory a little bit with my notes of what I took from the first one.
Yeah.
And also just went online and did a quick recap. Because I feel like our choices were fairly divergent at some points. Yeah. So I wanted to remind myself what I actually did.
Cool.
Yeah.
So as is always the case on these episodes, we're going to talk a little bit about the story in general, but pretty quickly we'll have to get into spoilers.
Yeah.
We'll give you a heads up, though. So if you haven't played episode 2 yet, go back, play it, come back, listen to our thoughts.
So before we get into narrative spoilers, I want to ask you about one sequence.
Okay.
Where I think I encountered a bug, basically.
Oh, really?
At a certain point, you're on a bridge.
Yes. And
surprise, surprise, you get attacked by walkers
on the bridge. There are zombies. Yes.
Yeah, and so as Clementine, you're dodging out of the way and trying to take out the zombies. There's a point where you have to use the directional movement, either go left, right, or whatever. The last command on that, where you have to go left, I failed probably 5 times in a row.
Oh, really?
Like, jamming on left. Like, I'm surprised I didn't break anything.
Were you playing on a controller?
I was, yeah. Okay. And I tried every single directional input. I tried pressing left on the D-pad, left on the left stick, left on the right stick. Mm-hmm. Like
left bumper.
I was. It was weird. Do you remember that sequence?
I do, yeah.
Did that ever come up for you?
Nope.
Not at all?
It was fine. I mean, but I was not playing on a controller, so maybe this is some support issue.
Yeah. Ultimately, what I did is, since I had played it so many times in a row, I knew what the direction was going to be, and so immediately as that QTE was coming up, I just started jamming on left.
Oh, weird.
And it finally took, but it took like almost right away. Like there was no delay. Like it was almost impossible for me to have to read it and then do it.
Yeah.
Like I just kind of had to know that it was coming.
Yeah, that sounds like a bug.
It was weird.
Yeah.
But it kind of brought out I mean, that's obviously an extreme example, but it was a good example of what I think like the weakest parts of the game are. Yeah,
the gamey parts.
Yeah, the gamey parts. Well, and also like this directional stuff is much more apparent in season 2.
Yeah, I liked the way that it worked in the first episode. I felt like that's kind of the right direction.
Yeah.
You know, we made a comparison to Beyond Two Souls.
Yeah.
And I think that's still an apt one, but yeah, maybe it's getting a little bit too much. I don't know. I mean, I didn't have a problem with it, so it doesn't really stick out in my mind. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's probably better than the more obtrusive QTEs from season one.
Hmm.
Like I mean, because right now it's either move left or right or spam Q and yeah. then hit E.
Yeah. Yeah, and those are the other ones. Just mash on the button mm-hmm. until it's the second button. I still think the UI, like, making something go from a bright color to a dark outline color. Oh, yeah,
color, the color change is bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's strange UI choices, and I still think that, regardless of what you think about Beyond Two Souls, like, I just found myself thinking, like, how elegant that game was.
Yeah.
Like, in a controller-based way. But totally. Yeah, anyway, that's just kind of ongoing mechanical changes.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to someone on our site. Gosh, I'll figure this out. I'll put it in the comments or something. I think someone emailed us and gave me a heads up about how to turn off the, so-and-so noticed.
Oh,
this.
Yes. Yeah. So you did that.
And
this
so
time.
I did that. Yeah.
And did you find that it was as effective as you'd hoped? Did it really sharpen things for you?
Yeah, it was great. Cause now I don't know what,
I don't know what is going on.
I have no clue who was noticing and when. And so every decision I made with Clementine was more intense than it already was, mm-hmm. I feel like, which is already pretty intense.
Yeah, it's already pretty intense for sure.
Generally speaking, how were you playing Clementine in this episode?
Generally speaking, yeah. I was playing Clementine. She's really smart,
yeah.
And I think that people around her don't understand how smart she is.
There's even a conversation where she says something like, they always underestimate me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
There's... You know, when you think back to season one and you remember, like, the things that she went through with Lee, that was well over a year ago. Like, mm-hmm. she's been surviving in this world
yeah.
with basically just Krista and Omid, who, let's be honest, are not the sharpest tools
right.
in the shed.
Right.
Certainly not Omid. And then when Krista lost, yeah. Spoilers for episode one of season two.
But things go bad for Krista.
Right. When things go yeah. bad for Krista, right, yeah. she also seems incapable of taking care of herself, let alone somebody else.
Yeah.
So I was playing Clementine in this way that was like, she's smarter than other people. She's skilled. I think that what I didn't really understand or respect as much until this episode was how much it feels like Clementine learned in terms of social maneuvering mm-hmm. from Lee.
Yeah.
At least in my perspective, right? Like, I played Lee a certain way, and now I'm kind of playing Clementine a certain way.
Yep.
Even though one of the things that I'm most surprised by is I genuinely feel that my Clementine and my Lee have very strong differences between how they behave.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of an achievement.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm the same person. I played the same experiences.
Yeah.
I was not Lee. I would expect in a normal game world for me to project my player desires in a way.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. It's opened up, I think, a bit more. And now, like, my decisions as Clementine are not the same as Lee's. I think there are things that Clementine would do now that Lee would not do.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting to sort of think about that.
In the absence of, like, a strong mechanical reason why, like, you know, you play Arkham Asylum, the next Arkham game, you're still Batman.
You're Batmaning around,
right, you know,
exactly.
Like, whereas this, like, the mechanics are pretty much identical as the first one, but if you act so differently, that's kind of, like you're saying, an achievement for the character stuff.
I totally think yeah. so, yeah. And I think part of it, of course, is that she's a child.
Yeah.
You know, there are even certain, there are certain scenes in this episode, like, at one point, you decide which of two walkers you want to take down.
Mm-hmm.
And you could choose to take down a small one, or you could choose to take down a big one, or you could do what I did, mm-hmm. choose to take down a small one, but mm-hmm. then take down the big one instead.
Whoops.
Whoops. That concept of, like, she could do things that Lee can't do, but at the same time, she also has to know her limitations because
yeah.
she's a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything that you're doing, even mechanically speaking, right, you have to reconsider from her perspective.
Yeah. I've noticed myself doing that a lot, too. And it's actually led to me being more silent in a lot of the choices.
I 100%
yeah.
agree.
I cannot
believe... I mean, I actually think that the studio as a whole is getting better at this, because
mm-hmm.
I did this in the Wolf Among Us episode 2 as well.
Uh-huh.
But there are way more opportunities, in my mind, where being silent is a legitimate
yeah.
choice.
Yeah. And from Clementine's perspective, it's like, you can't say... You have to be even more careful about pissing people off, because
yes.
just the reality of situation is, if someone wants to overpower you, it's way more easy to overpower a child than it is to overpower
yeah.
Lee, you know?
And there's a sense of, like, you're not, you know, that the way that people see you is not, you know, you're not their leader. You're
yeah.
not their mentor. Like, there's only so much that you can do.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to step back and just let people deal with it themselves. And that's something that my past Lee would not really do.
Yep. Yeah. It's, it's pretty neat. And also, like you're saying, the writing and the conversations are such that it's not, I mean, it could be awkward if you don't say anything, but it's story-based awkwardness. It's not like mechanics, like, okay, I'm just gonna not do this choice. It's like, if there is a pause in the conversation, it sounds like an actual human talking to somebody.
I think in this episode, I counted, I did not say anything. I chose silence three times, which is quite a bit. I mean, for like a 3-hour episode.
Right.
And they were in some significant altercations.
Yeah. Plus, that silence can feel even more obvious when something really dramatic is happening. Yes, true. So it's like, it stands out a lot. Yeah, I've been doing this a similar thing. Let's see. Anything else that we should talk about before we start talking about the story specifically? I think it's like roughly the same type of arc.
Yeah, it's the same. I think this episode felt a little bit more like we're getting somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like we're getting on our way towards the main storyline. I think last time we talked about episode one felt like an introduction, but a really good one.
Yeah.
This one feels much like, okay, we're moving now.
Yeah.
And I think in that way, the social relations, like the drama, everything felt different than the same. Like, this wasn't just season one retold. Mm-hmm. It's not the same social dynamics. Yeah. It's not the same problems. And so I think in this episode, it feels like you are in a genuinely new environment.
There's a lot of characters.
There is.
Yeah. I didn't really expect all. And, you know, it's The Walking Dead, so some characters last longer than others. But, I mean, it's kind of like, I feel like the 400 Days started this a little bit, where they're much more willing to throw in characters that, you know, might leave really quickly, or, you know, large groups of characters.
Yeah.
Without having to, you know, have a whole episode dedicated to them. It's a little bit hard for me to keep straight and care about some of the characters sometimes. Like, you don't know who you should care about, but perhaps that is the point.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. And there are several scenes that make that specifically obvious of who are you going to choose to sort of side with.
Yeah. Okay, so going into spoilers now?
Yeah, let's do it. Spoilers starting right now.
Talking about the story. So I wrote down my choices like usual.
Okay, cool. We'll go through the list.
Yeah, we can, and that roughly goes with the plot too.
Mm-hmm.
So you're still hanging out with that group of people that's in that cabin.
Yep.
And you're not quite sure what their deal is, and, you know, why Carlos's daughter is just kind of
weird
up in the attic and weird and
super
stuff.
Weird.
Yeah. So they go out. Oh, actually, you know what? We should start at the very, very beginning. Did you choose to try to save Nick or Pete?
I chose to save Nick.
Okay. I went with Pete.
Uh-huh.
And so how did the episode open for you then?
So the episode opened with Clem and Nick inside a shed.
Mm.
They had like ran away.
Yeah.
And successfully escaped, and of course he was furious that she let Pete die.
Yeah.
And then they locked themselves away in a shed.
Dick. Like, he was...
Nick?
Yeah, because Nick was
also... Did
you
say Nick? I thought you said...
No,
you said
I saved Pete, but he was still a jerk when I got back to him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so Nick and Pete are both alive.
Well, for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, Pete actually... So it ended up... Pete actually did get bit.
Oh, really?
And we found an abandoned van in the forest, and we hung out in there for a while. And then the fever started to overtake him, so he was like, okay, Clem, I'm going to start making noise and distracting the zombies, and you just run when I give you the signal.
Uh-huh.
There was almost a time when he was about to saw his leg off.
Oh, man.
And then he was like, well, how would this help? You're not going to be able to carry me out. Like, I'll just bleed out right here. Like, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So that was pretty interesting. But I did give him the saw. Like, Clementine gave, like...
He's like, go for it, buddy.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's crazy, actually. That's kind of a dramatic scene I missed out on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds equally dramatic if Clem had to be in a confined space with, you know, a loose cannon.
So, okay, then real quick. Yeah. I mean, this is kind of off track. But at that point, you escape with Nick and you just go back to the house?
I mean, you don't even really see Nick until you get back.
Oh, really?
Like, it's unclear how Nick made it back.
So there's like a long sequence in the shed where Nick is just mopey and sad, and you find alcohol and he starts getting drunk.
Mm.
And then he starts considering suicide.
Oh, wow.
Basically.
Hmm. Well, I mean, he's mopey and sad for the rest of the episode. If you do it the other way, I was not privy to that.
Well, so in the scenario that I encountered, Clementine convinced him to like get out of his stupor or whatever, and then she sort of saved he saved Clementine's life.
Uh-huh.
So there was a moment of like he came through in a pinch.
Oh, that would have made a big difference actually, because Clementine has to Clementine has to either vouch or not vouch for him, or talk or not talk to him several times through the episode.
Yes.
And for me, like, I had very little reason. Fuck you, dude. Yeah, I mean, you know.
It's... Oh, when I was playing this, I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Like, Scott, this is Ben's, this is Scott's new Ben.
There's so many Bens.
I mean, they literally, I think at one point in the story, Clementine compares Nick to Ben. Of like, oh, I knew somebody once who, like, messed up all the time. Oh, in fact, that's what she's telling him. She's like, I knew some guy in the shed. She's like, I knew a guy who messed up all the time.
And my friend let him fall.
Yeah, my friend let him die.
Yeah, so I didn't see that. But, you know, Pete doesn't stick around for a long time. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's pretty much that. You get back to the house, and the rest of the folks, Carlos and Alvin and them, they go back out to look for Luke and the other people that are searching for you, because mm-hmm. they didn't know that you came back. So you're just in the house with the daughter, I forget her name.
Oh, Sarah.
Sarah. And you take a picture of her.
Yes.
And then Michael Madsen comes to town. Which, by the way, Madsen. It is Michael Madsen.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is kind of impressive.
Carver.
Yeah, Carver. A creepy guy who starts pushing his way into the house and searching. He finds a photo. He found a photo for me, because I took a picture of her.
He did, yeah, the photo.
That's probably scripted then. But apparently, I didn't take the blame for that photo, because that's one of the choices.
Yeah, it's funny that was one of the primary choices.
Yeah, me and 57% of folks blamed someone else.
Well, so now, who did you blame?
I didn't. That's why, like, blame was a weird word. I just said, hey, I was trying to distract her or something
like that.
Yeah,
I said the same thing, yeah. And then, like, Sarah's like, what do you... I thought you were my friend.
Yeah, I was like, Sarah, yeah, come on. Stop it. Yeah.
Did you teach Sarah to fire a gun?
No.
Oh, really?
No. When do you do that?
She pulls a gun out.
What?
You
when?
Know, that didn't happen to you?
When did she pull a gun
so
out?
So when you first go up there, she's in her bedroom or whatever, you take the picture... And then she's like, oh, look what I found. And pulls out, like, a Glock or whatever. And it's not loaded. And she swings it around. And Clementine's like, that is not a troll. You need to chill the fuck out. And then I trained her to shoot.
Huh. Nope.
And I even taught her. She even does the same thing that Lee does, which is, like, tell her that it's all about the breath.
Breathe out. Then pull.
And then she takes this enormous breath. And she's like, not that long.
Man, I wonder how you got to that.
Yeah, I don't know. It must have been...
Maybe I was delaying too long and it... went to the next sequence or something like
that? Who knows? Weird.
Huh.
Because my guess is that, I think I played with the reminders, and a thing popped up that was said, you taught Sarah to defend herself. Mm. So I predicted that in this episode, Sarah would use that gun in some way.
Huh.
Spoilers, she doesn't.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say, like...
Pick up the pace, Sarah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So, yeah, the rest of that scene for me was just that really tense kind of... Quentin Tarantino-esque moment where they're walking around the house and, like...
I dug that scene a lot.
Yeah.
Clementine is in a really... Alright, shit is fucked, alright? Like, this episode, I think, gets back to that scenario of, like, I don't know what is going on. There's so much that is up in the air and confusing and so little information that goes to Clem.
Yeah.
That it... In this episode, I was basically constantly on edge.
Mm-hmm.
That scene in particular is fantastic. I really like that scene a lot, because she's trying to navigate this stuff, try to get information from Carver to maybe get information about the scenario that she's in.
And not reveal too much about the people.
Yeah.
But that throws into question if the people that she's trusting are even worth trusting.
Exactly.
Like,
and not be aggressive, because again, she's a child. Yeah. Carver is a very large man.
He has a gun.
And he has a gun. Yeah. Like, there's a scene where she's, like, looking at a knife and it's about, you know, whether or not you want to grab it and stuff. And there's so much interplay of, like, okay, I'm not Lee. I'm not some dude. I'm this little girl, and I've got to figure out how to survive in this scenario.
Yeah.
It's such a different place to be in terms of your mind state
than
in the vast majority of other games.
Yep. Yeah, and it ended up, I waited too long and didn't go for the knife.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, and he just put the knife back
in the
drawer.
I did say, oh, I'll take that. And he's like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, that was a good scene. I liked that a lot. But I mean, the next, like, decision juncture is several scenes later, like after you get up to the ski lodge, but in the middle there's a, like, a pretty good, like, set of scenes too. What is it? So one of those is, so you tell them that Carver is around, and they're like, okay, we gotta pack up and leave now. So you go on, you hit the road, and that's when you were saying that you had the choice, you kind of scout up ahead with Luke, and you had the choice as to, like, ice one of the smaller zombies or bigger zombies. So what was the outcome of you doing the opposite of what you said?
my hammer got lodged in the zombie's head.
Yeah.
And I had to sort of unlodge it.
Uh-huh.
At that point, Luke was basically, he congratulated me, and then it was like, don't do that again.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We basically just split one and one. Like, we just went.
Yeah, yeah. You took the smaller one?
I think so.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that was just kind of a Luke and Clem moment because the hammer also got lodged.
Yeah,
and
you have I'm to sure do that the was thing. Scripted, yeah.
But the relationship between Luke and Clem is, I mean, Luke seems to be like the only okay person in that entire group.
Yeah, although I have my doubts, to be honest. There's some like, there's some issues that arise in this episode, and I guess I'll just talk about it now, but it feels like Luke in particular, but a lot of other people in this episode are constantly using Clem. Like, they're constantly exploiting her.
Yeah.
Like, Luke, there's all of these moments where he treats her like a child, but in doing so, tries to use that as like a way to push her to go do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that partly that's because, you know, she's the main character. We need her to go do things, right? But, like, there are some weird, uncomfortable things that take place. Like, he asks her to go, like, to do all the talking on the bridge.
Yeah.
He asks her to climb that, like, really high tower and compares it to, like, a treehouse or whatever. Yeah. At one point, Alvin asks her to lie about, like, canned peaches.
Yeah.
Like, everyone is constantly using her.
Yeah.
And not really seeing her as part of the group, and it's super weird. Yeah. And then later on in the episode, and we'll get to this, but somebody asks Clementine, are these people with you? Mm-hmm. Which is such a great way of changing the conversation from one in which she's being used by these people to one in which, like, no, they're with her. She's the smart one. She's the one that is the leader. And he knows it in an instant.
Mm-hmm. And it's also the pressure, too. It's like, you have zero responsibility until we're going to ask you whether you're going to vouch for all of these seven other
right,
people.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, which is like, I'll either ignore you completely and ask you to do busy work, or how do you feel about the fate of all of these
people?
Yeah,
so like, and it's funny, because sometimes they're like, oh, I'm so glad you're here, I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Clement is clearly carrying more than her fucking load in this group, and other people are not.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really come to a head until like late in this episode.
Yeah. So when you're scouting with Luke, you cross that bridge, the bridge scene that I was discussing earlier, where I had to play it five times in a row. And then afterwards, you meet the guy who I think his lines are probably the best lines in the entire episode. Yeah. Where he's like, "You guys aren't assholes, right?"
Yeah.
There's a lot of assholes in this world, and you just kind of meet assholes.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah. And then. Fucking Nick.
Fucking Ben 2.0.
Yeah, Ben 2.0 just shoots him.
Right in the neck.
Yeah. Falls off. And,
oh, man.
You know, who knows what's going to happen after that. I was just so pissed when he did that.
Yeah, it's funny, because I was going into, you know, I was going into this section where Nick had saved my life. I was beginning to trust him a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to give him a second chance. He had his second chance. And when he shot that guy down, there was no, you know, there's all these moments of like, oh, he did what he had to do, where he didn't know.
Yeah.
And I was just not holding back.
Yeah.
I think at one point Nick even asked you, like, oh, you know, like, did he look like a good guy or whatever? And I was like, he looked like a guy. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you did not need to shoot that man.
Yeah.
And it's entirely on you.
Yeah. I it was similar to me, but I didn't even have the emotional connection of the shed.
Yeah.
You know, this was just him. I didn't know the backstory of how much he cared about it. I got a little bit of that when he asked, when I realized that I, in fact, did pick up that watch that I had forgotten about, and I gave it to him because I was like, okay, if anything could calm him down, fine. Like, just if we can stop him from randomly shooting people, like, I'll give him anything, you know?
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, it's always like randomness is always the worst possible personality trait. Mm-hmm. Like, unpredictability is the most dangerous thing.
I mean, I could see, like, you know, he's been through some shit. It's been like 5 days. He probably hasn't eaten well.
Yeah.
And he sees a guy with a gun that's like raised.
Yeah.
I mean, Matthew raised his gun.
Yeah.
So
it was very like Daisy like moment.
Felt like a Daisy moment. Yeah.
But I mean,
it's just like wait for your allies to say something.
Yeah. I don't know. It didn't make me trust him anymore, basically.
Yes, yeah,
so,
I agree.
Yeah. But, you know, you make it across a bridge, your long, slow march north. You're going up a hill where there's an old ski chalet up there. And guess who's come back to town?
Oh, it's Kenny.
And he has a beard.
He does, a mighty beard.
He's gone
as well.
Full Riker and has a beard. What was your reaction when
Clemson, Kenny?
Yeah,
I mean, I presumed it was gonna be Kenny.
Yeah,
when they like, oh, I thought you were dead.
I thought it might be Lily, the other person too. But yeah,
I mean, I rent and hugged him right away. I didn't say anything. I thought it was great. And again, there's that moment where Kenny says, like, are these people with you?
Yeah.
And that, in my mind, was huge. With that one sentence, I was like, okay, finally someone who gets it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, things are not, I am not, you know, like, a lapdog for these people.
Yeah.
They're the ones with me. Mm-hmm. This is like that scene in Watchmen where he's like, I'm not stuck in here with you. You know what I mean? Like, it flips it and it makes you rethink that. So
Clementine's journal.
I'm really glad. I actually... It's funny because when I first saw him, I was like, oh, this is going to be that friendly moment. But things are way more complicated with Kenny than you would first predict.
I believe my reaction was not to hug him, but say, holy shit.
That's a good one.
A non-committal, could be a bad thing, could be a good thing, but holy shit, like he's alive.
Holy shit.
Because the other thing is, Kenny was always also kind of a wild card.
I didn't
really know, like... Oh, is this a good thing, or is this like wild bearded Kenny has finally gone off the deep end?
Yeah,
you know, like, yeah, but he hadn't. Well, I guess.
So Kenny's got a new wife.
Yeah,
and at one point his wife asks you, "Does Kenny seem different to you?"
Yeah,
and it's funny because Kenny doesn't seem that different. He's still kind of hot headed. But I don't know about you or how you read it, but Kenny seems much more fiery and angry. He's like quick to anger.
Yeah,
in a way that he didn't seem to be in previous episodes.
Yeah. Kind of, that's his default almost, rather than him having to build up to it, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the moment she started asking about him, I was like, oh, what is the relationship actually like if she doesn't really know?
Yeah.
Does she know about his wife and kids? Who knows what is going on? And like he calls Clem Duck by accident at one point during dinner, like, you know,
that was a really pivotal scene for me, because I think before then, you know, this whole episode is kind of like, oh, are you going to stay with these group of six, or are you going to move on with the people that you came here with?
Yeah.
And you know that that's sort of coming,
yeah.
You know, and you're sort of weighing the options. And when I found Kenny, I was like, oh, this is great. These are cool people. I could see Clem wanting to stay with him.
Mm-hmm.
The moment he called Clementine Duck was the moment I was like...
Alarm bells, like...
Yeah, and not that like, oh, I think Kenny's going to hurt me or something. Yeah. It was... this is not good for Kenny for me to be here.
Yeah.
And, like, I've got him. Like, he needs to move on.
Yeah.
I need to move on. And then the decision was made.
Yeah. Well, speaking of decisions, so that's one of the points that they measure. Me and 65% of other people sat with Kenny. Did you sit with Kenny?
No, I did not sit with Kenny. Man.
I sat with Kenny because I wanted to know what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to ask Kenny, like, how did you survive? What was happening?
So, do you ask him that? Like, what goes down?
Nothing. Like, all he says is like, well, look pretty bad for old Kenny there at a certain point. And he's very vague about it. And
he tells you directly what happened with him and Ben, right? At one point, because he's like, oh, I had to leave.
Well, Ben, something different happened to Ben.
So he doesn't have that.
Like, I let Ben go in the first one. So I know what happened
to Ben. I totally
forgot
about that. Yeah.
But I mean, for him, it was just like, well, things were looking really bad, but somehow I made it out. And, you know, you kind of just leave it at that. Like,
mm-hmm, okay.
And then the other guys come and sit down with you, kind of cutting off the private conversation.
Yeah, so it's the same way, but the other way around. You're sitting with them, and they're...
And then Kenny comes over?
And then Kenny comes over, by himself.
What did the guys say when you sat down with them?
A lot of it was about, you know, like, I think, gosh, if I'm remembering correctly, it was something about how I knew Kenny, whether or not they were trustful.
They were just trying to see what info you had on...
Yeah, they were trying to, like, get that information... Mm. Information about it. It was rough. Like when I saw, so I made the, it was hard for me to make the decision. I chose not to sit with Kenny because I wanted to bridge the two groups.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I felt like if I go with Kenny, these people are going to see me as one of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather try to form one large group. And Kenny like looks sad. And the thing appears on the top. It's like, Kenny will remember this. It's like, oh no, what have I done?
Kenny's wild mind is already remembering
this. The decisions in this episode were really difficult to make in a way that they weren't in the last episode, in my mind. Because just the social relations are so much more complicated.
Yeah, agreed.
And again, by this point, Kenny has already been a little fiery and acted a little strange. And, you know, I don't know. It was a tough decision, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. There's a bit of character development in the lodge. You talk with Walter.
Yeah, Walter. Like
previously a school teacher.
One of the few gay characters.
Yeah.
In a video game.
Yeah. What else do you do? Decorate a Christmas tree.
Yeah, did you put the angel or the star
on top? Put a star on top of it.
Take that, Sarah.
And then Sarah's like, oh, that's all okay. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, like, yeah, that was great.
That was pretty funny. I knew, because that was framed as like a big choice too. It was like, back out or put this thing on the tree. Yeah. And I was like, everyone knows a star goes on top. Yeah, get your angel stuff out of here.
What a secular. And it's like, Kenny's wife, she said she doesn't celebrate Christmas. Yeah. She's probably, we need to go for the secular Christmas tree.
That was pretty funny. But Walter's stuff, I mean, it soon becomes clear that the man that you encountered on the bridge and that... whose knife you have that Nick shot and killed mm-hmm. was Walter's husband. And so then it becomes like, okay, how are we going to either hide this from him or break it to him?
Yes.
Yeah. And then again, that's another time when you pointed out, like, you know, they were asked... Luke was asking Clem, like, oh, don't say anything.
Another
like,
scene,
don't do
yeah.
anything.
Another
yeah,
one like, where Luke is like, yeah. lie for me and cover me. Like, yeah. you gotta do this.
Yeah. Which I was very noncommittal about. I was like, this... Walter is gonna find out.
Yeah.
You know, this is not... Something cannot stay a secret for very long when there's only 10 people in the room.
Yes,
you know?
Totally.
And so I just kind of... That was one of the... I don't even really know when it happened. Maybe it was during the one-on-one conversation, mm-hmm. but... Apparently me and like 73% of other people told Walter about Matthew's death.
Yeah, I did the same. And I encouraged Nick to tell him.
Yeah, I think that's what, I forget if I did it.
And Nick does. He comes out and is like, yo man, sorry about that.
Yeah. And then Walter's like gripping the knife like he's going to start swinging at a certain point. Pretty tense scene. And pretty like... I felt like up until that point, I didn't really like Walter's character that much because he felt trite.
Yep.
He even gave Clem a little speech about, like, the better angels of our nature or whatever. Yeah. But, like, they probably did that to do that quick flip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of a sudden Walter can't keep up that front anymore. You know, Walter's the kind of guy that was like, okay, well, humans will always be okay. You know, like, ultimately, people will do the right thing. But probably not.
Yeah, you probably. Know? Like, yeah, he's, like, super optimistic and hopeful.
And then he isn't. Was it the same way, like, you told him, or were you just kind of silent out there?
No, I told him. I was like, it was us.
Yeah.
We did it. Which was, I think the writing is really strong in this mm-hmm. episode. Even the way that Clementine phrases that. Like, it could have been, oh, fucking Nick did it, you know? Or like...
If that was an option, I would have done that.
Yeah, or like, yeah, sure. Or like, oh, shit, really hit the fan, man. I don't know what happened. Like, there's mm-hmm. all sorts of ways it could have gone down. But she manages, like, to diffuse it. Like, she knows Nick did it, but she says, we did it.
Yeah.
And I think that's apt, too, because... She did, kind of. Like, there's all sorts of ways that you can imagine things can go different. Like, fucking don't leave a gun with Nick.
Right.
You know, there's... The idea of, like, I'm gonna share culpability...
Right.
...in this sort of post-apocalyptic world is very mature for someone. Like, for anybody, for that
That's
matter.
True. Well, things quickly go off the rails again when mm-hmm. One of the wind generators starts making a lot of noise and zombies come... And then,
well, earlier we actually bump into Bonnie first.
Oh, right. From 400 Days.
Yeah.
You see her kind of peeking into the window.
Bonnie was both of our favorite characters from 400 Days.
Yeah. That was a good vignette. It was a quick one, but like there was a lot of interesting decisions she had to make. And the moment I saw her, I was like, oh, okay, well, here's how things start to tie together.
Yeah, yeah.
And you give her a bunch of food and then she like wanders back away.
Which, I trusted her. Yeah. I did ask
why not?
To search her for guns.
I did, yeah. I was good. Like, and even Clem was like very cold about it. She was like, search her for weapons.
Yeah.
Like,
and again, like those are, like that scene, for example, I don't think Lee would ever have said that.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have chosen something like that for somebody like Lee.
Yeah. I was kind of nervous about shutting down the turbine because I don't know how to shut down a turbine.
Oh, yeah, but it was like...
Apparently just a key. Yeah.
She's like, I got this, guys.
Yeah. And they just believe her for some reason. She's like, I can do it. And they're like, okay, good. And then they run over to like...
You know, this 12-year-old and all of her turbine experience.
But at that point, you know, the zombies are everywhere. And one starts getting at Nick. And Walter is the one that sees this happening.
Mm-hmm.
And you're faced with a choice to like... You know, try to make him save Nick or do whatever. What did you do?
That did not happen to me.
What?
I mean, as far as I understand, there was never a moment of choice. He saved Nick.
What?
Wait, what happened to you?
Oh, man. Well, I and 13% of players let Walter make up his own mind.
Yeah.
And he looked at him, he raised his gun, then he lowered his gun, and Nick got eaten.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when you were talking to him the first time, did he throw the knife away?
Yes, he did.
Weird.
Yeah. He threw the knife away, and then, you know, shit hit the fan.
See, my guess is that it must have been a sequence of events beforehand that could convinced him.
Yeah.
Because what option did it give you at that moment?
I could have called out. I was like, I could have said, like, take the shot, don't take the shot. And I was just too busy, like, thinking about what was my next step.
Yeah.
And time ran out, and Walter just kind of shrugged and...
was just like, fuck this guy.
Yeah, and went on. Yeah. And then a zombie took a fat chunk out of Nick's neck. So he is gone. Yeah.
Well, good for you, Walter.
Yeah. Yeah, it was... that was a dramatic scene. I can't believe... so Nick is still alive.
Oh, yeah. Nick's alive.
Holy crap.
It's crazy. I'm glad, too, because I was concerned that they would make Walter the sort of this like, immediate turn of, like, oh, you've killed my husband, and now I'm going to be a bit... like, I'm going to give up all hope. And my version of Walter does not.
Wow. Well, yeah, mine does.
I mean, you know, like, you're also let Ben fall to his death. You have a history of letting morons. That's
just, yeah, you know, I do not suffer fools.
Oh my God. Like, we all have to take note when the zombie apocalypse happens.
That's a huge difference.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I mean, and eventually you make it back to the lodge. I'm obviously one man down than I could be. And supposedly, I mean, I guess it's letting Walter make up his own mind is the thing, but like, I just let him do that. I guess people shouted out or called out to him.
Because you could have said, don't take the shot, and both of you let Ben die.
Well, I mean, like,
as culpable then as when you let Ben go.
I mean, like, one of the things is, like, if he shoots, I wanted Walter to kind of face the decision that perhaps we faced when we were seeing his husband. Mm-hmm. Like, he could potentially shoot and have friendly fire.
Yeah.
Like, he could waste a bullet and still let Nick die. You know, it just wasn't a very sure thing. So I was like, I have plenty of zombies to shoot right now. You go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
You know? And he just didn't do anything. Huh.
Crazy.
But we all got back to the lodge, right?
We did, got back to the lodge. Yeah.
And then Carver comes back.
Yeah, Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, with Bonnie. Ooh, God.
Yeah, rough, man.
Bonnie, we liked you.
I know, we liked you so much. I'm so glad, though, because like, Clementine doesn't know any of that stuff that I know.
Yeah, which is good.
Yeah.
Which
is why I said search her for guns, because like, that's what a friend would say.
That's true. And then there's another like hiding moment, and it comes to pass that Carver is looking for... what's her name? Alvin's wife?
Rebecca? Yeah, Rebecca.
Rebecca, who's pregnant, and pregnant with, it looks like, Carver's baby.
Carver's a weird dude.
Yeah, it's very strange, but, you know, you're hiding, and Carver's basically torturing Carlos to get you to come out of hiding. Yep. And that was, like, one of the, that was the last big choice, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what do? Do you give yourself up, or... do you try to, like, hop out the window and look for Kenny
what did you do?
I gave up.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah. Okay. Because, like, this whole plan of, like, I'm going to jump out the window, like, what's your end game there?
Yeah, like, I'm going to abandon everybody. Like, come on. There's hella gunfire. Kenny and them know.
Exactly. Kenny and Luke should hear that and be coming back. Also, Carver's already proven that he's not the guy to fuck around with.
Yep.
You know?
Did you try to save Alvin?
I tried, yeah. And he was alive at the end of of the playthrough.
Carver holds a gun to your head then. Yeah.
Yeah. But he also kills Walter.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's nothing to do. I mean, like, he had killed Walter. He had, like, slowly started breaking each finger of Carlos's. And it's like... this guy is clearly not fucking around. Yeah. Like, if I try to jump out the window and run around, like, he'll just kill everybody, right?
Well, I mean, you know, for a second, I thought, you know what, maybe I should... look, Kenny's outside, Luke's outside. Those are literally the two most likable people in this room.
Yeah.
Maybe I should just call it quits. Like, there was a brief moment where I was like, Clem, you should probably just go it alone now. Mm. And I decided not to, of course. I mean, I didn't even take that risk, but...
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, Alvin and Rebecca have already kind of asked a lot of you, mm-hmm. and you're kind of getting into their interpersonal drama and stuff. Right. Like, well, what do you have to gain from all that?
Yeah.
But, you know, I couldn't stand by and let all of those people die of one course. By one. Yeah, so I was like, okay, well, you know. And yeah, I tried to save Alvin, so that was pretty intense. You mm-hmm. know, Kenny came in and everything, and that's kind of... It was a quick ending. Like, I was a little bit dissatisfied at the very end because it was just kind of like, okay, well, now you're prisoner's the end.
Yeah, I thought it was going to continue on. I think that's partially why it felt to me like, okay, it's getting to where we want to be.
It's setup of the actual plot rather than setup of the actual characters.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. But Nick went with you guys? Like, he was still alive and he was still... Yeah,
as far as I know.
Hmm. I was wondering if they would have gotten rid of him by, like, making him one of the hostages that Carver killed or something instead of Walter.
Just Walter.
Man.
But as far as I understand, I think Luke is still outside, right?
Yeah, Luke's out there.
So there's like a Rambro. Yeah. I mean, maybe Nick's outside too. I don't really remember him being tied up. Maybe him and Nick are gonna forge like some daring rescue in the next episode.
Yeah, it was right because it's Kenny and they're all tied up and stuff. Yep. That dynamic is pretty interesting, and I'm looking forward to like seeing what the camp is and like. The society that... I mean, The Walking Dead is full of, like, despots, basically.
Yeah.
Like, anytime there's a society that happens, it becomes, like...
A governor.
Yeah. The governor, or what was the town that...
Woodbury?
Yeah, Woodbury, and even to a certain extent, Herschel's Farm. Like anyone who has domain over a community, there's always a cost and a dark side, but one that you can understand.
But do you think that... I mean, from the, like, next time on, it didn't seem like it's a very large community.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, maybe it's just him and the three, four people he's with.
Yeah, the bandits or whatever.
Although they keep talking about that, what's that? I guess that's the town up north.
Yeah, the family, too. Yeah. That they were saying, like, you know, if you're part of our community, you have to make sacrifices. Like, I just think that's interesting. I think that dynamic of if you want sustainability, so often in The Walking Dead, sustainability comes at the cost of some, you know... huge moral compromise that you're gonna make.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Although, like, I wonder, I mean, hunting down his baby's mama is, like, that's a little much.
Yeah.
Like, can you even rely on somebody who's willing to put you at risk and your group at risk to hunt someone down?
Well, I mean, that's the rhetoric, right? Like, if we can't control, take care of our own, especially if they are making the next generation of us... What is going to happen to our town?
Well, she clearly doesn't want to be with you, though.
Yeah, like, but...
He's just a rampaging...
I know, but like, that's his rhetoric. It's like, this is the sacrifice that you make.
Yeah, I guess
you know?
So.
Like, you as a person are not as important as the baby that you have.
I don't think there's ever been a moment in Walking Dead fiction, in my mind, that makes a better argument than this episode against large survivor communities.
Yeah.
Like, because there's just so many liabilities. Mm-hmm. Every single person... might do something irrational because it is an irrational world.
Right.
And when the end days come.
The moment you have politics. Right. Yeah.
And so the more people you have in your group, the more likely you are to start some shit and have things collapse.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's true with Nick. It's true with even something petty like Alvin trying to lie about the can of peaches. Right?
Yeah.
Like, all of this stuff builds up.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. It was good. That all those interpersonal relationships. Again, like, it's a lot of characters to juggle, but... I feel like they've gotten to the point where they know how to do that.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
What's with the canned peaches?
I don't know. They always are I look like this girl on it. And it's like, A, that girl is a cartoon.
Yeah, it's like, A, she's got pigtails?
Has pigtails. And B, her skin is way lighter than Clementine.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. I thought they were going to do something with that. Maybe they will in the future, but
I mean, thought maybe it was just a nod to, like, Georgia peaches. Yeah. She's from Georgia.
That's true. Well, that also, I think that is just in the larger theme of people both infantilizing her and then exploiting her at the same time. It's like, oh, look at you. You're like a cute little kid, like on this can. Also, climb up this huge ladder. And then,
it's a treehouse. Yeah, like, I hated that treehouse. Yeah.
Well, and like when they asked Clem, like, Clem, can you go in that shack and look for some food? It's like, you know, every time you go into an enclosed space... there is potentially a walker in there that will instantly jump out
and
at
it's
you.
Just so different than the way that Lee dealt with Clementine. Like, Lee was never like, Clem, go and do that on your own. He'd be like, go as a group, be smart, think this through, like, use things to your advantage, but only if you have, you don't have to do that, Clem, you know what I mean? She gave him, he gave her so much agency in those that first season.
Yeah.
And then all these other assholes.
Just see her wind up kid toy to point
in the
direction.
I think part of that is just like, they know they don't have a clear leader.
Yeah.
Like, who is their leader, right?
That's true.
Luke, kind of. Carlos, kind of.
Pete may have been that until he's gone, you know, and you're right. Like, no one has stepped up.
I think there's a sort of like a desperation and clinginess to someone that is useful.
Yeah. Which is how a character like Carver comes to power.
Yeah,
you know?
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a pretty deep debrief.
Yeah.
Looking forward to the next one.
Sure. Maybe, I hope it doesn't come out in 3 months.
Well, I mean, the third episode is kind of where, in these types of stories, the diamond gets the widest.
Yes.
You know, like the plot diamond, like the most stuff can happen differently before it starts converging on the end.
Yeah.
So... And that's kind of how in The Walking Dead season one, episodes 3 and 4 were like the huge, like things completely changed from the other side. Yeah, looking forward to it. All right.
Oh, there we go. Do you feel like you're satisfied with the 400 days tie-in so far?
No.
No. Okay.
No, because I mean, like, it was barely anything in season one.
Yeah.
And like Bonnie is there, but I feel like they just kind of wrote themselves into a weird corner with 400 days.
Yeah.
I feel like 400 days, more than anything, and I don't mean this derisively, but I feel like it was kind of an experimentation. Like, mechanically, it was an experimentation. The quick time events were different. Character-wise, it was short character studies. Kind of like, that's how I write. Like, if you need to write something long, you write a couple short things to see what works, and then write a for real thing.
Yeah,
you know, like,
for sure.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I'm glad it's Bonnie, though.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I wonder if it would have been different, though, depending on... Because they did say it'll affect it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one thing I really like. Like, there's a scene when Kenny and Clem are talking about the old days.
Yeah.
That moment of, like, reminiscing is really powerful because we went through that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that uniqueness, like, as episodes and seasons get stacked on and people start calling back, not just the things that happened in the previous episode, but things that happened literally like a year ago in our real life.
Right.
That's pretty effective.
Yeah. That time frame, just like the episodic format of the show, ties you to the characters in a much better way, you know, because you're kind of getting this trickle of information and it feels like the Clem that you were interacting with in season one, probably the same way that she feels like a completely different person. Like, that feels like a lifetime ago that happened.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember that? Like, I can barely...
When she, like, couldn't even shoot a gun?
Yeah. Like, now she's just come so far, you know? Like, it's interesting. All right. We'll wrap it up there. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our despotic regime.
Be a part of our community.
Be a part of our community.
You have to make sacrifices.
Go to iTunes and leave us a review. That'd be great if you want to help us out there. We're also on Twitch and YouTube.
Yep. And until next time, everyone, thanks for listening, and we'll be talking to you next week.
Keep walking.
These boots were made for walking. These boots were made for shambling. Every time.